First of all, let me say that I did talk to Kyle and say, I don't have a problem with you preaching tonight. I can do this at a different time, but he would decide I would go ahead and do it anyway. If you would open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. This is a text that is very familiar to many people. It's coming to the close of Jesus' ministry here on the earth. All things have been accomplished, and now it's time for him to return back to heaven. In Matthew chapter 28, before he leaves the earth, he visits with his 11 apostles that he has chosen. And in verse 16, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, there was a time that I can remember growing up that when we discussed this verse, they would say, well, that applied to the apostles. We're not to go out to the whole world and preach. I mean, that's impossible, Joe. And you look at the time that this was spoken, it was a command to those 11. And we know how there was a choosing of Matthias, and then later on we saw how the Apostle Paul joined their ranks, going out to do what's called the Great Commission. But I'd like for you to look at it in a different way. That even though we were not there on that day, and that we received the commission, even though it was given to those people at that time, if you continue to look into verse 20, he says to those apostles, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Go out and make disciples of all nations, teaching them what I have commanded you. So I think it applies to us today. When we look at the world at large, and we think, you know, Joe, there's just no way I can go and talk to 6 billion people in the world. And we know that it can't be done. But when we look at the way Jesus developed these men to go out, you can see how by multiplying people such as himself, that this could be done. Jesus himself did not go out through the whole world preaching his message. He stayed in that land of Palestine in that area. But notice what he did. He focused on a few people, and he converted them to be exactly like him. So then that message could go out. Where one man preaches a message, then he has multiplied himself by 12 to go out and do the same thing. And then those 12 went and multiplied themselves. So if we don't look at it like we have to go talk to 6 billion people, if we look at it like this commission is for us to take care of our own neighborhood, even this own congregation, then it's a little easier to follow what the command is. How do we follow this command today? First of all, we need to become a disciple. In the book of Acts, we can find out how to become a Christian, how to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. That we won't go over the plan of salvation tonight. But we know that in order to be pleased to God, that we have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came here to die for our sins. And in doing so, that we would confess him before men, that he is the Son of God. Repent of our sins and be baptized for the remission of those sins. And then continue on to live a faithful life. That is how we basically become a disciple. When we ask what the definition of disciple is, or a Christian, oftentimes we'll find that people will say he's a follower. You're just a follower of Jesus Christ. But I would put forward for you tonight that it's more than being just a follower. If we look at the examples in our own lives of a teacher-student relationship, we're more than just a student or a pupil in school. I remember back when I was in algebra, I didn't have an intimate relationship with my teacher. I went in, I did my work, I tried to learn the algebra, learned enough so that I could pass my test. And then I moved on to Algebra 2 and had a different teacher. And then I went on to geometry, had a different teacher. We're not talking about being a follower or a student-teacher relationship like that. It goes much further than that. It becomes where we have to be, what we desire to do is become an imitator of that person. When we talk about a disciple of Jesus Christ, he's an imitator of Jesus Christ. Back in the early Greek days, or the latter Greek days, there's a man by the name of Socrates went about developing a philosophy. And he had many students, but what he actually had were disciples. He had people that came to him, and then he would teach them his way. They lived with him. They saw his manner of life. They went about his daily life and saw how he reacted to different situations. One of those men was Plato. And if you look at what Plato did, taught, and his students, and then see that compared to Socrates, you see they're exactly the same. He was an imitator of Socrates.
for almost 1,000 years, that school continued on, that development, by making disciples of him. In the religious world, being a disciple of Jesus Christ is exactly the same way. When we see Jesus' life and we see how he walked upon the earth, he took those people that followed him. He had multitudes that came to him. There were 12 of them that he selected to be especially close to him. And there were even three that were close to that when you think of Peter, James, and John, who walked about his daily life. They didn't just go to class and learn. They studied Jesus. They listened to him and they applied it to their lives. They were imitators of Jesus Christ. And so we can see that Paul, whenever he would say, "Be imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ," that is a true disciple. And that is what Jesus came to do. That is how he would conquer the world with his salvation, by making disciples, followers, imitators. It goes much deeper than just being a follower of Jesus. And we look at a few things that we might appreciate of Jesus and consider ourselves followers. But when we look at the scriptures, in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 16, "Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in the church." And Paul continues in 11, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." How many of us today would call ourselves a disciple of Jesus Christ? And how many of us would go even further? "Follow me. I'm an example of what you should be." That's a mighty bold statement of Paul. But it's a statement we need to be able to make for ourselves. That if anybody follows us in our life, they can become imitators of Jesus Christ because they are imitating Joe or they're imitating you. That's what we strive for, and that's what Jesus demands. That's what he taught the apostles to do. That's what the apostles taught others to do. And it continues down so that the school, if you will, of Jesus Christ has continued on for thousands of years. Continue because of disciples. A true disciple of Jesus Christ will imitate Jesus and conform. In Hebrews 13 and verse 7, the writer says, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." You see, it is important that if we are truly disciples of Jesus Christ, that we imitate Jesus Christ, and that our lives will show that we are imitators of Jesus Christ. We're not just followers. It's a deeper relationship than that. We have a great relationship with Jesus Christ. When you look at his relationship with the people, certainly he had masses coming to him. And he used those opportunities to plant the seed. And when the seed was planted, it was easy for them to come to Jesus and ask questions. And that's the way it should be for us in our lives. People should see how we react to different situations in life. And they should see our good conduct, our godly conduct, our Christ-like conduct. And it makes us more approachable, so that we can plant that seed and develop these people further on. Next thing we look at, how do you identify a disciple? And there are three ways that Jesus says will identify us. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed.'" It's more than just reading the Bible. It's more than just reading the scriptures. If the word, or we are going to abide in the word, then we read, we meditate, and we conform. Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples." So the mark of a true disciple is one, when you see them, you see the word of Christ. When we read the scriptures, it's important that not only do we read it, that we understand it, and that we apply it to our lives. There are often times that we see, like in the parable of the sower, when Jesus spoke that, the disciples went away, "Do you understand what I said?" "Yeah, I kind of do." But then Jesus, on occasions, had to bring them separately and explain to them the meaning of what was being read. It's kind of like the little kids sitting in the adult Bible study. "Well, did you understand what I said?" "Well, yeah, I just don't know what it means." And that's the same way it is with Christians. You can understand what's being read, but do you know the true meaning? Are you getting into the Word? The way we do that is not necessarily daily Bible reading, although that ought to be something done. I'm not saying anything bad here. But even meditating on those words. When you read the scriptures, let them dwell in your mind and understand the deeper meaning of it. Just like being a disciple is not just a follower. There's a deeper meaning to that. And when we let the word of Christ dwell in us, then we become imitators of Jesus Christ. We know him better. We know what he wants us to do and our life conforms. It's not just being hearers only. It's being doers. So that when we read those scriptures and we meditate on them and we have more understanding of them, then we become more Christ-like. In 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 16, Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We think like Christ. We live with Him. We understand what we are to do. And even though we were not an apostle on that day, even though we were not there to actively watch Jesus like those men did, they wrote down the account of Jesus' life. And they wrote down what it is they were meditating on. They wrote down what it is we should meditate upon and how we should act. They saw Jesus in different situations and how He reacted in those situations. How did He control His anger? How did He control Himself whenever there were all these masses that were attacking Him? In every situation of life, these men got to see how He reacted. And in such, they conformed their way and became truly disciples. Not just being taught, not just learning a skill for a certain period of time, but actually becoming Jesus in their life. Another thing that Jesus says that will identify us is by the love we have one for another. In John 13, verse 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now, in Leviticus 19 and verse 7, Jesus quoted from there and said, love your neighbor as yourself. But He says in this commandment, and John says, I give you a new commandment. Well, what's new about it? Several things are new about it. First of all, notice He says that you love one another. The object of this love is different than loving your neighbor and loving the people in the world. The object of our love is for each other, for the disciple. You know, Christ, I believe, knew in the infinite wisdom when He created the church that disciples were going to need each other. We were going to have to help each other and bond with each other and have that intimate relationship with each other. And that's what He has developed for us as a disciple of Christ. And the world will know we are disciples of Christ, imitators of Christ, by the love we have for each other. So the object of our love is different. We love the world, don't get me wrong. We are to love the people of the world, to love the non-Christian. But you can't understand the truest love, the most intimate love you can have, unless you are with somebody else that has the same goal, that has the same mind as Jesus Christ, that has these things in common. That's what's special about this commandment, that we love one another. And it's much deeper than what we have for the people of the world. Our desire should be to be with each other at all times that we can, because it builds each other up. It helps strengthen us and keep us together as unity, as Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. He prayed that we would all be one, just as He and the Father were one. So the object of that love is different. Also, the measure of that love is different. Notice He says, the old commandment was, love as you love yourself. But the new measure is, love as I have loved you. You see, that's different. Sometimes we might have a selfish love. And our love for the people of the world might be, well, I love you as much as I love myself. Well, judging by that, you must hate yourself sometimes. I see that all the time in the workplace. If they were following this command, you don't love yourself by the way you're treating these other people. But notice the command of Jesus is, love as I have loved you. Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. What greater love could there be? And at the time that He spoke this message, He was washing their feet. He had become a sacrifice for us for our sins. But even in His life, what will benefit the people more than what will benefit me? In this occasion, He had lowered Himself to washing the dust off of the apostles' feet. And He says, do this. Follow me. Be imitators of me. Your love needs to be greater than the love that you've had for before. Your love for each other. You have a different purpose also. When our love for the object of our love and for the measure of our love and then the purpose of our love. And the purpose is so that all men may know that we are disciples of Jesus. We should care for each other, and by the people seeing that in our daily lives, they should know that we truly are a disciple of Jesus Christ. The third thing that Jesus mentions in John chapter 15 and verse 8 is that we bear fruit. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. In Philippians 1 and verse 22, Paul says that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Converting souls is what Paul is talking about. Some people will say that, well, you know, some of the things that were written in the letters, it's not necessarily about going and evangelizing and knocking doors and converting people to Jesus Christ. We also have the fruits of the Spirit, which also mark bearing fruit. And we find this again spoken by Paul in growing spiritually in Galatians 5, verse 22 through 23. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Paul says that bearing fruit in this manner is bearing fruit, but not at the expense of converting souls. It's imperative that we do both. We need to grow spiritually. We need to add all of these things to our life, the love, the joy, the peace. When the world sees that, then they know you are my disciple. And when the world sees that, that makes you more approachable. That makes you the type of person people will come to and can be around. And then by them seeing the light, that's what opens the doors that the seed might be planted. A true disciple of Jesus Christ will grow spiritually, thereby helping to convert those people to Jesus Christ. So the three things that Jesus says mark us as His disciple that we need to add to ourselves are to abide in the Word, to love one another, and to bear fruit. Next thing that I'd like to look at, and that is our task. Evangelism is always a touchy subject. When you start talking about evangelism and we need to go about and convert people, we're talking about knocking on doors and getting doors shut in our face and things like that. Evangelism is important as a disciple. We see that example in Jesus Christ. But notice how He did these things. He went around making Himself known to people as a man that knew much about the Scriptures. And it would draw people to Him. Multitudes would come to Him to hear what He had to say because they knew His character. They saw how He lived. He was an approachable person. They could ask Him questions. They knew they would get sound answers. And by doing this, when people could approach Him, then He could start working on them of planting the seed that they might truly become disciples of His. But we have to let people into our life. We have to not shut ourselves out. We can't be hermits in our home. In order to be a true disciple, we have to be willing to evangelize. And hopefully one of these days I can get into one of my other lessons I've prepared to go with this. It's kind of a two-part thing. But it's imperative that we evangelize. We need to convert people, but we have to do that by letting people into our lives. God wants people to be saved. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." In Luke 19 and verse 10, Jesus said, "I came to seek and save that which is lost." If we are a true disciple of Jesus Christ, if we are going to be imitators of Jesus Christ, then that should be our goal also. That should be one of the things in our lives that we do, is to seek and to save the lost. And through His example with the apostles as witnesses, they were able to go about and to evangelize and create more converts and more disciples. But it was not an easy process. It was something that these 12 went out to do. And while they were going on their way, they made more disciples. And those disciples would spread out even further. So we find that roughly 30 years after Jesus had said, "Go out and evangelize and bring the world to Me," we find that it was accomplished, that the world had spread throughout the world. But we also are witnesses to the salvation that we can have. And our lives need to be such that people see Jesus in us. We need to be approachable. Our lives draw men to us, and then we can have influence upon them and plant the seed. It's not something where you go and immediately grab somebody and give them the plan of salvation, and then they reject it, and then you move on to another person. We have to evangelize, converting them, getting them interested. And then after their conversion, we need to edify. And that goes with anybody, and especially with the new converts. If you think about it and see the way things go around today, people want to stop once we've baptized somebody. You're saved from your sins, and now let's move on to the next one. When you look at how Jesus did things, when you look at how the apostles did things, after the person was converted, after the person became a Christian, and they edified them, they kept them with them, they followed, they saw in the daily lives of Paul and the apostles how they confronted error, how they confronted other people that were teaching falsehoods, and it gave them strength. And the new convert needs this more than anything. They need edification. We need to teach them and bring them and spend time with them so that they can understand what Jesus would have us do, so that they too can become better disciples. In Galatians 4 and verse 19, My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Paul talks to them as their little children. And that's the way it is. If you think about it, little babies need their parents. You have to feed them and help them grow. And we've all heard the stories about a disciple outside of the Word. A disciple that does not have the Word or does not have the maturity is like a fish out of water. Or is like a plant that is pulled from the soil. He can't live. It's important, especially with new converts, that we bring them along and that we edify them, that we feed them, that we spend some time with them. In Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7, as you therefore have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. We need to edify, and also we need to equip. And by equipping, then we reproduce ourselves. And that's what we see, Paul especially. When you think about his journeys, he was taking a few men with him every time. And they could see how he interacted with the people. They could see the example. They could see him imitating Jesus Christ. And he asked them, imitate me as I am an imitator of Jesus Christ. When you think of his travels with Silas and Timothy and Titus, these were people that were very close to him, edifying them and encouraging them and bringing them so that they could reproduce. We are an example also. And those of us who have become Christians after being edified, we need to do equipping also. When we look at equipping, in Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 14, Paul says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints of the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. So this person becomes ready to work. After edification, we need to equip them. And through this process of being with us, of seeing us as an example, how we react in situations and how we go about, then we duplicate ourselves. Imitate me as I imitate Paul, as I imitate Christ. We should have that confidence and be able to say that. Well, Joe, I'm not perfect. Well, I'm not either. I make many mistakes. But you see, people learn from that also. If I make a mistake, how do I react to it? What do I do about it? And see, you can set examples whenever you commit error. You set examples to other people. Think about it when people come forward confessing sin in the congregation. Are those not some of the strongest things you've ever seen? Do you not learn from that? Do you see the amount of courage it takes to say, I am wrong? You learn from that. And it's encouraging to see that. And we need to be able to equip so that we too can reproduce. And we need to take those that are weaker or those that are new and edify them and equip them so that they can go out and do the same thing with other people. By doing that, you can conquer the world a lot easier. Like I said, if we each had to go take care of the world by ourselves, with 6 billion people in the world, if every night you could go somewhere and preach to 1,000 people every single night, somebody was going before you setting up all these tents and everything, and you could speak to 1,000 people a night, it would take you by yourself over 16,000 years to go and reach everybody in the world. 16,000. Now, is that the command that God gave me as an individual when I'm supposed to go out and teach the world? I don't believe so. But if we duplicate ourselves, if we reproduce, then you can see how we can have more people. And we need to begin in the church. Right here is where we begin, by making disciples. By becoming a disciple, by helping 3 or 4 people and sending them out where they can make 3 or 4 people. Is that not what Jesus did? He went to the multitudes and he preached his message. Some of them were drawn to him. And some of them he became very close to. He had a great relationship with all of them. When you think about the 70 that went out, he had a great relationship. He trusted them to go out and preach his message. But his inner group was 12. And those he spent a little over 3 years teaching them and equipping them that they might go and reproduce. They might go and make other disciples. And that's when he commanded them, go make other disciples. But when you look at some of the other special occasions of Jesus, there are some times that he took 3 people with him. And that being Peter, James, and John, he's very close to them. And you can tell by the stories how he would go off by himself, but he would take those 3 with him. He worked with a small group, but look what he did. In just over 30 years, the whole world had heard the message. Jesus didn't do it by himself. But he prepared men who could go out and do exactly that. He had confidence in them. because now they were imitators of Jesus, so that whenever the people saw them, they could see Jesus Christ. Oftentimes the apostles would say, "Show us the Father." And Jesus says, "Well, how long have I been with you? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Jesus imitated the Father. This is how the Father wants us to react in these situations, how we conduct ourselves in life. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Paul says, "Be imitators of me. If you've seen me, you've seen Jesus Christ." And we need to have the same confidence and conduct ourselves away and reach that goal. It's very uncomfortable to say, "Be an imitator of me," because, man, now I'm an open book. But that's the way Jesus was. He was an open book for the people to see. That's the way the apostles were. They were open books for people to see. And that's the way we need to be. Start with the congregation first. Develop people. Develop. Edify. And I would even go on to say that attending just on Sundays and Wednesdays is not enough. If you truly want to be a disciple, think about how they did this every day. You have to live with the person. You have to learn. It can happen, but it takes a long time. It'd be better if on your own you would have daily Bible study and meditate on these things and add them. Don't just be a reader. Be a doer and apply them to your life. And that's how you can develop and spread the news. Finally, in concluding, we need to learn what Jesus did. And we need to learn what Jesus said. And we need to learn and pattern our lives after the way He did things. And Paul says, "Be an imitator of me." We can look at the trials and tribulations of Paul, and we can read of all the things that happened to the apostles. And when we look at how they conducted themselves, they say, "Be imitators of me." And that's how we can go about converting the world and how we can be a true disciple. An example gives one a pattern for change. When one sees someone else do something, then they can believe it can be done. Oftentimes, we only believe what we see. But when they see us pattern our lives after Jesus, they say, "You know, that sounds awful hard, but they're doing it. It can be done." And by being the example, we can lead others to Jesus Christ by planting the seed and converting them and equipping them that they might be disciples of others. We need to learn to imitate the Lord by imitating His example. Another thing we need to do is let people into our lives and let them see Christ in us. When they see Christ in us, when they see us conducting ourselves as a Christian, as a true disciple, then it will motivate them to come and ask you questions where you can plant the seed. And then finally, we can reach that area where we can say, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." If there's anyone in our audience tonight that has not yet named Jesus Christ as their Savior, being baptized for the remission of their sins, we would invite you to do so tonight, that you might become a disciple of Jesus Christ. As you see, it's much more than being a follower. We have to have that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. So doing, we need to have that intimate relationship with each other and develop these things in our lives that others might see us. If it is that you've not been a disciple of Jesus Christ, think about these things and see if there's not any changes that might need to be made in our own lives, of living just the life that Jesus lived, going out in the world and let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works. And in doing so, maybe it will draw people to you. And once they get to know you and see how you conduct yourself in situations, how you don't lose your temper, you're not angry in that way, how you go about your daily life in every situation, it might just be that the opportunity arises where you can talk to them about Jesus Christ, where you can talk to them about their souls. Let them ask questions. Develop a study with them. And eventually, you'll come to that point of conversion. And when they do, don't stop there. Continue with edifying and building them up. Don't leave them alone. Don't let them sit out there and figure it out for themselves. Because you're an experienced disciple of Jesus Christ, and you know how they should conduct their lives. You know you have the wisdom of the things they need to change. And in so doing, let's equip them that they might duplicate ourselves. If any of you have a need, we would invite you to come as together we stand and sing.